o'clock on February 9th, 2017. I'm calling to order the Pappy Missouri River NRG Board of Directors meeting. Please raise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, that saves a lot of hassle.
A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairman's report and their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairman. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion or actions. Thank you. With that, quorum call, please.
Bradley.
Here.
Greg Conley.
Here.
John Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Brenwald.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
Leahy.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
And Sherbert.
Here. Item number four, adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and second. Roll call on the motion, please.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brenwald.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Shepard.
Yes. Agenda item five, adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. Roll call on the motion, please.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brenwald.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
And Shepard.
Yes. Have the affidavit of proof of publication. It will become part of the permanent record for tonight's meeting. With that, moving on to agenda item number eight, agency and association reports and presentations. 8A, Natural Resources Conservation Service report. Neil Jensen.
Good evening.
Good evening, Neil.
Just want to talk a little bit about the EQIP program, Environmental Quality Incentive Program. This is a program that provides financial and technical assistance to farmers, ranchers. It's really not much different than your CAP program, your Conservation Assistance Program, that provides cost share for conservation practices. Under this program, to be eligible, you do have to be a farm producer, have a FSA farm number, track number. But that's a pretty loose definition as to what makes you eligible, because we will have even vegetable farmers within the city of Omaha, as long as they are able to show that they have control of the land and can get a farm number, which usually isn't a problem. They would be eligible for this program. And also then you have to comply with the highly erodible wetland provisions, and you've also, if your adjusted gross income is over $900,000, then you're not eligible for this program. So there are some upper income levels with it. Also, we provide additional incentive to historically underserved producers. This would be limited resources, beginning farmer ranchers, socially disadvantaged, and veterans who are also beginning farmer ranchers. And it just pays a little higher incentive if you are one of these historically underserved persons that applies. Go to the next screen there. Just to give you an idea, we had 29 contracts that got obligated last year for just under $500,000. So this was for calendar year 16 or fiscal year 16 for us. But you can see some of the, you know, there's a wide variety of practices. There's actually probably well over 100 practices that qualify under this program. But through our local work group, which the NRDs attend, some of the other agencies, Fish and Wildlife, Game and Parks, farm producers can all come and give their input. Also local public, we invite the local public to give input. And based on that local work group then is how we prioritize the practices. And so that's why you see erosion control, which, you know, if you look at your one sign back there, it talks about soil conservation and erosion protection. Fits right in with what you guys deem is why NRDs are there. And so we tie really right back in with that. So as you can see, probably terraces is probably one of where the majority of our funding goes. But we also do some work on pastures. This last year or two through the local work group, we identified that, some of the tree renovations around farmsteads, we weren't getting those funded at our state level, so we put some of our local funds so that we could get some of those windbreaks renovated. So, got any questions for me?
Judge Brad.
Well, if you had a copy of that for the directors,
It's put on your website.
Your book as well. Under agenda items.
Thank you, Neil. All right, moving on to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Tim Fowler.
Thank you, Chairman Kluge. On January 24th through the 25th in Lincoln, we had our NARD Legislative Conference. Nothing really earth-shattering this year. Governor spoke about his priorities, tax cuts, all the above for Nebraska. They had the breakout sessions for the new directors who did show up. It was a good conference, good breakout sessions. Everybody got together, and I think it was pretty good. I highly recommend going, as always. Item C, National Association of Conservation Districts, was their 71st annual meeting. I was the only director to go. As far as I know, the only other person from Nebraska was Orville Gigstad. And this year was primarily with the administration change in D.C. A lot of talk of things going on. The big things that were spoke to were primarily the overregulation of government. The farm bill coming up, they're already starting to work on that. A lot of posturing on both sides and what we can do with it and how to make it better. Also, the Wetlands Act, they want to change the EPA. That was another hot topic. We had speakers from the Farm Bureau President, Governor Hickenlooper of Colorado spoke, and the Ag Secretary of Colorado, Don Brown, spoke. And all quite enlightening. So I highly encourage new directors at least once get out to these things and you get a national scope and feel, not just what our NRDs are about, but what the other ecosystems are, whether it's in Florida, Colorado, California, whatever. And you'll see these everyone coming together under the conservation flag. And these are ranchers, farmers, everybody, even urban. To my last point, Urban, Orville pulled me aside and got me appointed to the Urban Conservation Grant Program. I'm now the Northern Plains representative because they haven't had someone for a long time. So he said, hey, you're right in the middle of Omaha. We need somebody. So I got the rose pinned to me. So I'm now the representative for the Urban Grant Program. So I asked Neil, I said, hey, have you heard of this? And he said, nope. So I guess they have money. And stay tuned, Neil. I'll get you some more information on that. So it was really good, and Denver is always beautiful, and it was great weather while we were there. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Fowler. Moving on to 8D, legislative report, Hush Blackwell.
Thank you, Tim Gay with Hush Blackwell. Let's start out in general, what's going on, not a lot. today's day 26 that are still discussing the rules they're going to operate under. So there's a filibuster been going on. They could talk on that apparently as long as they want because they're discussing cloture, how to end debate and other things like that. But the other two things dominated, obviously, Senator Kittner's replacement and resignation and all that has took a lot of time. And then the budget. They do have the budget on a select file. That's a good thing. In the budget, though, as we mentioned last time, there's $440,000 that is out of the budget on the Water Sustainability Fund for this year. So we're watching what the budget is the next year, what might be taken out of that as well. So we'll work with Dean Itz and others, obviously, who are watching that and want to make sure that there's enough funds in there to accomplish the mission. For all the hard years of work they did to set up this Water Sustainability Fund, and they ended up getting it funded about half of what they wanted. So now that it's actually operating and things are getting done, we'd hate to see those funds go away. So that's kind of where we're at on that. That's a big deal, and we're going to be watching that. Been monitoring different legislation. I did hand this out, and there's a lot on there. I know I'm not going to go over every single bill that we're trying to follow. Some of these probably should be taken off there, but Steve Graz, Ron, and I will go through it one more time to just kind of with everything happening so fast. On the right is the hearing date. So many of these have had a hearing. There again, if we're already this far into it and they're just having hearings, voting them out, there won't be a lot of time left to discuss a lot of these bills. So that's good if you're trying to stop something, but if you're trying to get something done, then it's a problem. There's not a whole lot going on. I highlighted a couple bills, though, that I caught just before it came that maybe we should talk about. LB 27 on there. These aren't a lot of big things, but they're important things, and Steve will go over these as well to make sure how exactly, Steve and Brad both, how it affects you. But LB 27 is you got to submit your interlocal agreements to the state auditor. Now, these aren't heavy passers going to the state auditor. If you don't, apparently some people haven't been submitting data that they're asking for. So the auditor is getting more aggressive. He has some friends in the legislature getting some bills passed. But that would be if you're non-compliant. I'm sure you turn over everything they ask anyway. But there's fines on that up to $500 a day that withhold. LB 89, this is kind of interesting on the budget. You submit a budget, you got to publicize it, obviously. But then if there's changes, you got to go and publish it again if you made any changes in the budget after your hearing, which I don't get that, but we'll look more into it. And that hasn't passed, obviously. LB 98 is, that was a water, you'll see that one. That's that just extends a 3-cent levy for foliar over-appropriated water districts from this year out to 25 and 26. They already have all this authority. They're just extending it out. Anyway, so that catch your eye. There's one on there, too, about dams and filing fees. LB 154. That's really just they were charging $10 to file a fee. Now you don't have to pay the fee, but you still got to do the filing, so. In a time of no money, they're asking for less, I guess. But the mill dam one caught our attention. I didn't know what a mill dam was. Still not sure I do. But apparently in the old days, you could, if you had wanted to set up a dam to start something in water, power, whatever, you could have go across the creek to your neighbors and, how's it worded, basically put it there without your neighbor. You can't anymore. So they removed that, but that's interesting.
There's only one anyway. It's a museum.
Yeah. Drinking water, that's always, that catches everyone's eyes on LB 182. That one is just allows cities under 10,000 or anybody under 10,000 people to apply for grants and loans that are in that fund, which makes sense. And then 221, I highlighted that for the budget. So we did, John was down the other day, him and Steve Graz attended the hearing on LB 390. That was the one that dealt with who has jurisdiction over bonding. Can a county come in and tell you, oh, we fought that battle, many times. We did again this year. It's in committee. They did a great job. Like I say, I wasn't there, but they did a great job, as always, to explain our position, since we're the only one that has this authority. And so I'm not going to get into all that, but it was poorly poorly done on their part, on the other points. There's a couple bills, I know, Director, on all of you hunters, on game hunting and, like, obstructing hunting and hunters yesterday. It's kind of interesting us following that. Apparently, people who are wanted, you know, sell phones and horns and all sorts of things, and then people who are bagging game illegally, they're upping the fines quite a bit, so we might want to follow that for you. All of you know that's important. So that was going on today. They had some wind and solar issues. This committee, there wasn't a whole lot of, there was only fewer bills this year, and I think that's just, as we said, probably because of newer senators. There's a lot of bills in general, but natural resource district bills usually, and these are very complicated. So I think a lot of people just didn't understand it, so they don't, but I think they will in the coming years probably. But it's a whole new committee, and there just wasn't a lot of water bills done or things like that. That'll probably change as they get more time to draft bills. So anyway, but that's what's going on with us. I'd say, we'll just continue to monitor. The hearings go through March. So next time we're back will be myself or Ron or Steve or whoever. But we're going to get through the hearings and kind of, again, go down and say what's really important, what isn't. I think the budget probably will take direction from you all and John and the group. But the budget is the big one, and then watching 390. So that's kind of – that's what's catching our attention. And if there's any questions or anything, I'd be happy to.
Director Thompson?
Thank you. LB-488, Groney, is that the proper pronunciation?
Groney.
Mm-hmm. I got an email today. The Natural Resource Commission is sending a letter in opposition to that, and it doesn't say what the Water Conservation Land Act. What he wants to do is take $3 million out of the water sustainability.
I looked at that today, and it just read, that's what I was thinking too. That's why I looked at it. Because, yeah, $3 million
for
irrigation.
To pay farmers $50 an acre to not irrigate.
Right.
And exactly. It's a yearly thing. You cannot irrigate 1 year, get $50 an acre. And why?
And how they prioritize and all that. The hearing is on the 15th. We'll definitely be there.
Well, I saw him at the reception when we were in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Never met the guy. Hi, my name is.
Yeah, I remember.
And why would you do that? And he used the F word at least 6 or 8 times.
Yeah.
And I was taken aback by this state senator being so crass about an important issue of $3 million out of this fund. I was not impressed at all.
Yeah.
And he couldn't come up with any rationale other than, oh, look at Omaha, look at Hastings, look at this, look at that. And it didn't go any further because...
I brought my bill book back there, but it's in there. But I forgot. But anyway, it's I looked at it before I came, actually, and it's, yeah, the way I read it, I'm not so sure it said water sustainability.
Right? It did.
It did it for sure. Okay, I did. I was just a glance. Didn't think it did, but $3 million is a lot of money. Again, watch it. So the hearing's on the 15th, so it's next Wednesday, and he's not on the committee. That's a good thing. So. But yeah, so that'll be one of those things we'll watch, and then and Dean, Dean Edson is there too, following a lot of these things. So we team up with him quite a bit, and the committee, who knows? But I'd say they're all new. I don't think they'll make any major changes like that personally.
Director Leahy, then we'll get to you.
There was no bill from Kowalski or anyone else about sending our bonding authority past.
Not this year, no. This year, yeah, can't speak for Senator. He tried it last year. He got on general file, didn't get very far, and it's a much more conservative legislature this year. I think he was probably just, let's see what happens. I guess see where we're at, and he wasn't even sure he was going to be on the committee. He is now still, but so I think it's just kind of let's cool your jets and sit back and see where we're at. He's interested in it still. And then your bonding expires in 2019. So who knows what you want to end up doing on that.
Yeah, but I mean, if they got to general file, correct me if I'm wrong with the rules of the legislature, but
if you reintroduce it, you don't go through committee.
No, file. It starts all over again because they had to reintroduce all the bills. So at the end of the 2-year cycle, everything dies. Maybe that's a good thing. But yeah, so that's what you got to. He could rewrite the exact same bill and throw it in again. But John and I talked to him about it, and he just didn't feel as in there. He kind of knew the general gist of it. However, that'd need a lot more explaining. The other NRDs would have to be. I mean, they were supportive, but just it's a big lift. And I don't think he just went.
Dr. Bradley?
Well, I didn't want to get too sidetracked, but back to LB 488 and the $3 million that Director Thompson brought it up. Was it to pay $50 an acre to the regular family farmer or irrigation districts that are owned perhaps
per farmer
from the state of Nebraska?
I just read it over once. It's per farmer. And part of the hearing will go about this too. Then there's a priority system. This and that. It's just not a simple thing. Go put irrigating, pay it $50 an acre. The fiscal note, he capped it at $3 million, but I wonder what that would be. I suppose it makes it easier on the fiscal note, but I wonder what that would be and how many people would it like. It'd be interesting hearing. It will be an interesting hearing. But that's what he did.
We're not really a dog.
Well, we kind of do if we lose that money in the Water Sustainability Fund.
Yeah, less money for us.
So there's nothing in the budget that negatively affects us at this time?
Yeah, and the $440,000 that came out of the Water Sustainability Fund, but as far as aid goes, things like that, I've seen it.
We don't get state aid anymore.
No, that's what I mean. But other than that, indirectly what affects you.
Yeah, whatever they take out affects what you're eventually going to do. Yeah, and there's a reduction in the resource development fund that we're still receiving to pay for Cramper Lake and Danish Alps. So any reduction there just takes longer to pay us back those funds that are owed to us. So it does have an impact. The big issue that we were worried about is them taking funds that were already allocated by the Natural Resources Commission because we got $6.7 million for 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't touch that yet.
Yeah.
And so now, just forward, we're lucky that we're only giving up out of that fund $400,000 so far. But as Tim said, as we go into the next biennium budget, they may say, well, we're going to take several million or all of it or whatever. So that's what we're guarding against.
But it's out there. We got to look. I don't think it was – I thought we were still good.
Yeah, we are still
good. It's just we don't want them to say, oh, there's money. We're going to take – you know, because it's out of the general fund. So we've done a good job, I think. Everybody has. This is a hard-fought battle, as you know, so I don't think after 2 years they're going to take it away. And there's other people who want to see that. And so,
well, but you got, 17 new senators now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't quite know what they're going to do.
Well, and 35 or 37 of them have 2 years or less experience. Mm-hmm. So it's always constant education on a lot of these things. On the budget, so what he did, the budget, he took some of the cash reserve on the budget and took it for this year. He had $150 million of cuts. Well, they argued over why should we just do whatever the governor tells us. So they put some money back in and they cut $146 million. So not a lot, but that's probably responsible. He cut a lot of different things. Now they got to go into the next biennium budget and, you know, so find another 700, 800 million, but then they're talking about tax cuts and other things. Who knows where they'll end up?
It's going to be fuzzy math.
Occupation taxes, does that impact us in any way, LB 299?
Not
our district. Okay, someone called me about that. I didn't know.
There's an occupation tax battle going to happen probably in telecom. It's right of ways and paying that tax apparently on the right of ways. There's a couple bills that want to pay less of the tax or keep making improvements and not pay more of the tax. Mm-hmm. So the League of Municipalities has got some issues, but I don't think it affects you.
Okay. Director Lee.
Yeah. Has the date passed for everyone to submit bills?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the first 10 days. Okay. So that was, thank God it's only 10 days for all of us. But yeah, first 10 days. And that's what I'm saying, probably why a lot of bills and natural resources didn't get drafted.
And are there state senators, especially maybe even from all Nebraska, who are watching what's going on with Douglas County and the property valuations? Like, is there a discussion about changing some of the rules for the Nebraska equalization?
Yeah, there's a couple on here. I didn't highlight them, but there's a ton of different ideas of, you know, farmers pay less and, you know, whatever, lower everybody's property taxes, all these things. I'm not saying it is what it is. I mean, but yeah, there's one to lower ag valuations from 72% down to 20% and yeah. Paying the schools. Well, $680 million loss of revenue. So that's not going anywhere. There's all sorts of ideas. The governor's tax plan, of course, is changing the valuation. So that would affect you, I guess, in a way, because you got to look at, you know, but how much valuation are you going to get? It'd be based not on sales, but on actual projected income from the ag land. Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting concept. Kind of makes sense, but when they did all the scenarios, it didn't make that much difference, I had heard. But there's people who want huge cuts in their property taxes and valuations, but how do you do that? We've already got $900 million in the hole. You know, it all sounds good. They actually got to pay for things or cut things. And I haven't seen, well, the governor, like I said, he's been making cuts. I mean, there's cuts still to come. So it's a tough balancing for senators.
Yeah, so I heard all that about changing the ag value, but nothing about the Douglas County and
well,
the mission.
The politicians are all in an uproar.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't do this, but I have my own. I'm not going to say here that it is what it is. If you're a Sarpy County resident or all around in Omaha's, let's say you're from Western Nebraska, and you're looking at it and you're saying, well, Omaha's not paying their fair share.
Yeah.
So I think some of the Western senators are probably not upset. Let's put it that way. But when you have all the population here in Omaha, it's a tough deal. I haven't seen any bills, and it's too late, actually, to introduce a bill that could probably amend something. But I don't know how, you know, I don't know how they do that or what. I don't think it's a Douglas County problem to deal with.
Tim, does any of the local property tax in Douglas or Sarpy County go to the state of Nebraska?
Not that I know.
State's all sales and
let's face it.
That's what I thought. So really, I don't see it's an Omaha versus outstate issue because it's a local. I thought it was a local issue.
Part of it is, but when you base state aid on, let's say schools. So the state aid to schools is based on need. Needs versus resources is state aid.
Okay.
So. Or resources minus need equals your state aid. So we get a lot of state aid from whatever the general fund comes back here. So, yeah, if your property taxes are out of skew, they feel they're paying a lot more. We're not getting any state aid because our property taxes are so high that we don't fit in the formula, the school formula. So, yeah, it kind of is intertwined. But that's a good argument one of the senators made last year is like, how did the property tax burden become our problem in the state when local entities levy the property tax? Where we keep getting, didn't get very far, but kind of is a good argument. And they got all sorts of lids, as you know, and everything else. So, I don't know. I mean, we all watch the tax call.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you.
Moving on to subcommittee reports, agenda item 9A, ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee for the Southern Sarpy Watershed Management Plan. Be resolved that the minutes of the February 7th, 2017 meeting of the ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee for the Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership Management Plan are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee is hereby adopted and approved. Item 1, professional services contract with Fire Engineering. It is recommended that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Fire Engineering to provide professional services for Phase 1 of Southern Sarpy Watershed Management Plan for the maximum not-to-exceed amount of $400,640, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as to form by district legal counsel. And on behalf of the subcommittee, I so move. With that, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff? Board directors, Director Leahy.
Yeah. So We're paying the $400,640, and we're going to split that up between the other members of the partnership.
Correct.
Do we pay it out of this budget year, and they pay us back in future budget years, or will it be they'll pay us part of it this budget year? I mean, what are we paying $400,000 this budget year, or what's it going to be to us?
It'll take several years to get to this contract amount, so it won't be just a one-time payment of $400,000. They'll submit invoices, and then we will bill out to the partners their percentage of the invoice.
Within the
same budget year. Yeah. Is that correct, Clark?
Correct. If you do, the numbers they use, every year, and then you use that.
Right, but it's percentage out by the, yeah.
But the dues aren't just like they pay a flat fee of $5,000. I mean, the dues are based off the cost of.
Yeah. So the dues were paid for it, and the amount of the contract was
back. Right, okay. All right, thanks. But we won't have a lot of money hanging out there for a very long time.
Further, Director Jack. I had a question in regard, how many phases are there? This is phase one. How many potential phases are there?
Three.
Are they probably equally as expensive? There's no way to know at this point.
It would be hard to say. We were able to fit some of the phase items that we originally thought would have to wait a couple of years under this contract. So we're expecting it to be about the same.
And we'd anticipate an equal cost share for each additional phase that comes up in the future.
Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Fowler.
Yes.
Frommel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank
you. Yes.
Speaker.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Yes. Moving on to 9B, the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for the Papillion Creek Watershed Regional Detention Basins. Director Rich Teaser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Be it resolved, the minutes of the February 7, 2017 meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Committee for the Papillion Creek Watershed Regional Detention Basin be accepted and incorporated these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. One, initial screening of proposals for consultant selection interviews. It is recommended by the subcommittee that the subcommittee request interviews with Fiber Engineering, HDR Engineering, Inc., and Olson Associates in the order presented on March 2nd, 2017 at 6:30 p.m. I am going to, at this time, offer an amendment to the subcommittee proposal, or recommendation rather, that would read, the subcommittee recommends to the board that the requirement for the personal interviews and the ranking of the firms under Policy 15.2, Purchasing Professional Services, be waived, and that the following firms negotiate with management on the fee, details, scope, and scheduling for professional services requested for the project designated as follows. HDR Engineering, Inc., Projects Dam Site 19 and 12, Fire Engineering, Projects WP2 and WP4, and Olson Associates Projects Dam Site 7 and WP1. I offer that as a substitute committee recommendation, and I ask...
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item?
Just a kind of point of order real fast, just sort of like Robert's Rules thing. So I see the amendment here.
Sure.
The amendment reads like the subcommittee recommends. The subcommittee recommends, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, the subcommittee recommended what you read on the green sheet.
Right.
Your amendment would just be you, Director Teaser, recommends, because the subcommittee can't go and meet on their own. That wasn't right, outside. Yeah. So just, it should be Director Teaser now. This amendment recommends the board, not the subcommittee. So just
that's
fair. Fair enough. Order.
Yeah. You stand. You are correct.
And your second still stands, John?
Yes, certainly. Okay. That's how I interpret it.
All right.
Now, John, you want to go? I'm having a little difficulty speaking tonight. I'm a little dry. But basically, I'll start off and if you would fill in here a little bit. this is the first time that we've ever had multiple projects being given out at the same time. Generally, we have one project, and we have the engineering firms come in, and they make a presentation, they're ranked, and then we choose the highest ranked to get the job. This is unique in that we have multiple jobs. We have determined that we want, the committee determined that we wanted to have three firms. It appeared to us that the three firms were superior in their presentations or their written documentation, and that the committee at that time, or Tuesday, voted to award these three firms the construction of these six sites. And in some conversations that I've had and other committee members had, we kind of think it's rather foolish to have a interview process when we know those three firms and the firms are going to be getting the project. And so now it just it ends up actually to what firms are going to get what projects. And so in consultation with staff and several of the directors, and I apologize to Fred Conley. Fred, I was not able to get a hold of you today. I was up at North Bend watching an ice dam, and I tried to get a hold of you, and my phone didn't work up there. I apologize for that. Mm-hmm. But I did have conversations with all the other committee members, and they were in agreement with this potential amendment. And so I would offer it, and we'll take it from there.
I'd like to ask a question.
I'm sure. First, I'm going to go out and ask for any comment from the public, and then bring it back.
Okay.
Once again, is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to this item? Staff and director comment.
Yeah, isn't this a change in policy of the board with regards to what we're doing here?
Yeah, it is. But you would have to, as the motion says, you'd have to waive that policy. And the board can do that.
So should there have been a motion to waive the policy?
I think it's part of the motion that Rich read.
Policy 15.2.
15.2, yeah.
And what does that policy say? Repeat.
I don't know if I can say it verbatim, but it's just that the ad hocs form to take solicitation for proposals and then do interviews.
Okay.
But it's not that. It's not verbatim. That's what it says.
How long has that policy been in place here for the NRD?
Ever since I left Marvin after
30 years.
30 years. So we're now 30 years later talking about amending the policy to not have interviews, and basically allow the board to determine which of these projects these consultants are going to get? Or is this the projects that they're going, Director Teaser mentioned, are those the recommendations of the staff? Because it wasn't Tuesday night a recommendation from the staff. How did this all come about?
If the board chooses to follow that path and waive that policy, then that's the options that we put before you as a board. We would make those recommendations to go with those consultants with those reservoirs. If you choose not to vote for Director Teaser's motion, then we would obviously have the interviews, and then we would come back as a staff and as a subcommittee or ad hoc committee and make those assignments.
Okay,
so it could be the same, or it might be different.
Okay, because I thought Tuesday night when Amanda Grant was presenting, I thought her comment was after the interview, they would have recommendations after we interviewed.
That's correct.
In terms of how those would be divided.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so those recommendations have not been made yet, correct? When Director Teaser says 16A, B, go to this, you haven't made recommendations yet?
No, we made those recommendations to fit that motion if it passed.
Oh, you've already made a determination. If it passed, then we're going to recommend this.
Yes.
Is that
because we're responding to what the board's ultimate decision may be? So if you go this route, we have a recommendation. If you go the other route, we will have another recommendation, which may be the same at the end of the interviews.
Well, the reality of it is, if you do the interviews, that could all change anyway.
P- possibly yes, and no.
Yeah, yes,
they
no.
may be the same.
Maybe the same, but they could change.
Yes.
Okay. Could Amanda Grant come forward? I have a couple of questions.
And there's one other quick thing. This is just for this 15.2 policy still stands. It's just for this one moment in time because we got so many of these at once, correct?
It just waives it. It doesn't.
We're not doing the waiver.
It's not a permit. It's just
we're simply
time.
Making right. exception this one time.
Right. All right. Right.
I repeated what I thought you said Tuesday night.
Right.
Is staff in support of this change, this waive?
Yes. So, what I said Tuesday was we were at that time thinking we'd have the interviews, and then my thought was after those interviews, we'd facilitate a discussion where we'd help, you know, chart out, and the subcommittee would choose projects for each consultant.
Well, I thought in the proposal, the consultants had an idea what they wanted to do.
They did. They were asked to list a preference, and right. so we would have their preference available, and, you know, but it's not a guarantee. It was a preference, and then the subcommittee still had the option to appoint or assign projects.
Right.
So what is being proposed, and does that align closely to what they wanted to do in their proposal?
Somewhat, not for everyone. It's kind of a good mix of what they had requested and what we could give.
They all requested the same three projects.
Yeah.
in their proposals, they all requested the same three, which is not – obviously, we knew that wasn't going to work. And so we threw that request in there just to give them a – well, it was a mark – I mean, you obviously request three until you get three.
Right.
But, we've worked with these three firms – and from a staff perspective, we've worked with these three firms for – a number of years. We know their strengths. We know what conflicts they may have mm-hmm. with a certain project that mm-hmm. they may have a development on or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're brand new.
Okay, and that's exactly why there ought to be interviews, because they did all select the same three. And the question is, after the interview and we got to ask questions, why was that so, since there's supposed to be independent responses to the RFP? And they may have talked to each other. I'm not sure, but that is a real coincidence they picked the same projects. To be quite honest with you. And now we are basically amending a rule that's been in existence 30 years to basically align it in somewhat the same fashion that they seem to have wanted. So I'm not in support of amending a 30-year rule just for expediency, which it seems like this is. There's no reason why, and I've been on this board a long time. We've never. Not had interviews with firms, never. And this, what we're doing now, doesn't require a change from a 30-year rule. Simply does.
Well, to respond to that, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely.
This is the first time that we've given multiple projects out in under one roof, and that you know we have we're giving. So generally, it's us one project. We have, you know, two or three firms that we bring in for interviews, and we pick the one. Here we Tuesday night, the committee picked the three firms that were going to do six projects. And
I understand that, but my response to that is simply this. After hearing the interviews, we may have decided to give three of the interviews to one firm and three to another firm and not have a third firm involved in this. After we heard the presentations, some of our minds may have been changed. So there's no guarantee that they were going to be two, two, and two. In my mind, it wasn't. Now, it could have been all to one and three, 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 and three, three, and three, and one out. That's the value of having an interview with firms and presentations, to be quite honest with you. So I don't see a reason to not have interviews on this project. Although this is the first time we've done multiple projects, there's no reason to change a 30-year rule for expediency's sake.
Director Bradley, then we'll get to Director Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just thinking of, would the public be able to attend the interview process?
It's advertised. They don't participate, but they can attend.
now, I'm just thinking of, you know, checks and balances, ethics. We're cutting the public out of a whole, you know, scenario there. And so I might have somewhat of an issue of that, you know, but not being able to hear the, you know, the full interview process. But even with the public, just, you know, director Larry Bradley, little old Larry Bradley, I would have liked to, you know, hear the interviews also.
Director John Conley.
I believe we have waived the consultant selection process in the past, but I can't speak to the specific, but I believe we have done it for a project. Can anybody confirm that?
Yeah, we waived it before. Some things, like the stabilization project. Yeah, I can't. I mean, there's several times we've waived it.
Glacier Creek Design was one right. That
we've waived it for small projects, just to not even go through a process, just select.
Right. Thank
you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, there's a one-time waiver just for this, and as the RFP did state, we may award multiple projects. Each of the firms, as John Winkler said, I want these projects. They're all the Southern Three. Okay. No one wanted GS-12, DS-7, or WP-1. When March 2nd was the date Tuesday set for an interview, it cost these firms approximately $5,000 to set up the interview. And if the interviews were to occur, you know, each one of them does their due diligence to present the PowerPoint and get everyone dressed up to come to the interview. I mean, that's the way it is. We've been, for the most part, most of us, except for the new folks, and they'll have their term sometime in the future. So we're saving that part of it. And normally, and then after the interview, we convene, or we're convening anyway, but we discuss, and usually it's, hey, staff, what do you recommend? Which one do you recommend? In this case, we've already gotten that point, which 6 projects you recommend to who? So we jumped ahead of the time, saved the interview process, which I'm sure the consultants appreciate, and we can move on. We would have then approved in March the selection of the three, or the selection of whatever project we assigned to the three firms, or one firm or two firms. Mm-hmm. But parity says, let's give them all a piece, because it's a time-sensitive deal. We got 10 months, is that correct, to get this done? Now, one firm doing all 6, can they do it? Maybe. I'm sure they would, because we demand it. It's part of the RFP. Can 2 firms do all 6? Yeah. Can 3 firms do all 6? 2 apiece? I think logically, they each get a piece. Staff's going to be, Amanda's going to be burning the midnight oil and so on. But to waive the process of interview, it just saves them time, saves them money, saves us time, saves them money. I've been through enough of these. Just, you know, we sit back and, well, staff, I mean, I'm not an engineer. I don't have those initials. What do you recommend? And they usually come back with their favorite, and sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But it's a good discussion, and it is a public meeting that no one ever attends because, it, you know, they don't participate. They're not, you know, but it's announced, I think, in the paper and all that, right? And when you say public, you don't want other firms sitting in on the other firms' interview. So it's a professionally ethical thing. They love to, especially the third interview. Would love to be there for the first two. But so that's kind of quite, you know, it's not a private meeting. But anyways, this just speeds up the project. I don't know what we have gained, especially these three that we've interviewed multiple times over the years. But we know what they do. I've read their proposals. The resumes look great. They're all qualified. Now, hey, staff, what do you think? And this is what we got.
Director Weiss.
Me as being a new director, for me to make a judgment call, I would like to see the interview process. I can't speak for everybody, but I've never worked with any of them. So for me to make a good judgment call, to be fair, I think we should interview all. Because I don't really care how much time we spend here. You don't want to screw up and spend more money out in the field. Because once it's done. So I think we need to do our due diligence here to make sure we get the right choice.
Dr. Lane.
Yeah. When was staff notified of this amendment that it was going to be coming?
It was a discussion today, yesterday?
Yes.
Yesterday,
yesterday.
So we were asked to put what would your recommendation be if the board chose this?
Yeah.
We put together recommendations
pretty quickly, yeah. I would say. And I don't think has any discussion to these three firms or some of the other firms in town been had. I mean, I see them going after the same three, maybe because they have some kind of cost-benefit advantage, they feel like, to going after those three. And now that we've put it publicly, proposals that were confidential, that all of them went to just or went after the three, that may change their calculations and their calculus. It may change the other calculus for some of the other firms that may want a piece. For the new directors, I would say, not only, like Fred said, is this not the way normal business has been done, but it's not the way business should be done in government. It sends the wrong message about just divvying out projects and not having competition. As far as the $5,000, I mean, these are million-dollar contracts. $5,000 and their time is the cost of doing business. And then with the not an engineer, they're the staffs, the experts, et cetera. Well, they just had to made a rush decision, probably the best decision that they can make, but under the time constraints. And as far as we need to be listening to them, the original recommendation of staff was to include another firm, CH2M, which I know folks representing their firm are here today, and I don't know why they were cut. I'm under the impression that we should be inserting more competition to these kinds of contracts and these interviews. So if this amendment fails from Director Teaser, I think other directors should know I'm going to make another amendment that we include CH2M because that was the staff's original recommendation. And I know why while they haven't done work for us before, and these three firms have, again, we've never done six bands at one time. And maybe they have a different way of looking at things because they've worked in a broader sort of geographic area that maybe it would be worthwhile listening to what they have to say. So that's my thoughts. I've got some other ones, but I'll just let sleeping dogs lie right now.
Director Weiss.
I'm a contractor, and I do multiple bids. And I don't care if there's one, five, or ten. If I've got an opportunity to do an interview on a bid, I would jump all over it. I don't care what it costs me because if I want the project and I can do the project, I know I can do it, you'll choose me.
So I just want to throw out a few thoughts. This did come together rather quickly. I don't think anybody can disagree with that. I was informed about this earlier today when I started making some phone calls. I don't think it's appropriate to say that it's unethical by any stretch of the imagination. Nor do I think we're trying to hide anything from the public because obviously this business is taking place in an open meeting. In every single meeting that I've been to in the last 10 years on similar projects, not a single member of the public has ever showed up to. So I don't think that we're trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. I can appreciate the desire to have things move more efficiently, and I can appreciate staff's input as far as what firms they want to have work on certain projects. They're the ones that are going to be working with the firms. They know where some conflicts of interest lie, and they know where the firm's specialty is. So when you're dealing with transportation corridors or simply just some water detention, they know what firms can handle that type of work. So in my mind, from that perspective, it makes sense knowing what I know about the firms and having worked with them and interviewed them over the last 10 years. I would completely agree with what staff has recommended from that standpoint. I do understand the concerns about
30 years, it's going to rule for 30 years, which if it's worked for 30 years, then good. But rules are in place so people don't screw up, but also rules also prevent people from making good decisions occasionally. And I think under the circumstances, it probably makes sense if the subcommittee's wishes, which I do agree with, are to go with these three firms. The way that the staff has lined up the projects, why don't we just move forward with that and get this moving into place, because we are on kind of a time crunch. And I hate to be the person to say, well, because we're on a time crunch or it's an emergency, we have to do this, because that is kind of a BS way for government to do things. But I don't think that's a case of what's going on here, in my own personal opinion. So it is a rush. It is kind of outside the normal way of doing things, but I don't think, I'm very confident, and I'm sure legal counsel would address it if they felt that we were doing anything unethical. I think we're being very, very open with how everything is transpired. It's just transpired very quickly. I can support the amendment that Director Teaser has put on. New directors, I could understand where you might have some consternation with it, having not been through the process before. I would say I'm comfortable with it. Was that Director Conley?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's difficult at best for any of the board members, including myself. It's been a long time since I've done any engineering work. But to sit back and try to pick the right firm, as opposed to having the recommendation of staff that works with it and has worked with these firms year after year, knows their strengths and knows their weakness, knows where they've performed, they know where they haven't performed. I don't think, again, no disrespect to anybody in the room, but I don't think anybody at this table has superior knowledge than the staff. And unless there's a reason to overrule them, I think we should respect their judgment on this. We do on most other things. They come with a recommendation, and we do it.
Well,
and I think that while we want to be big and powerful and we're going to pick these, I really think the knowledge lies with the staff on these. And that's all I'm going to say on it.
Well, I think that's interesting, John, because Tuesday night the staff recommended for the interview. And with their superior knowledge, I thought that was appropriate. And decided to eliminate one, and I asked the question, why eliminate the one? And they didn't respond appropriately to the RFP, and I accepted that. Now, if there's have superior knowledge, and we're basically not engineers, and we ought to accept their recommendation, that should have been accepted by the subcommittee. But the subcommittee chose not to ignore it at the meeting. Now, all of a sudden, it's rushed. They didn't recommend that those be divided up two, two, and two at the committee. As Amanda stated, I listened to what she said. After the interviews, they were going to have a recommendation as to what should occur. And it's my belief that a couple of those firms could do three and three, to be quite honest with you. They're not that small. Olson and HDR aren't that small firms. They could, in fact, HDR probably could do all of them, quite frankly, from what I've heard over the years being on this board. So it's not a foregone conclusion that we were going to divide it up two, two, and two. And if that was the case, then that should have been stipulated to the committee at that time. We're going to divide these up, and we're going to give them two, two, and two. No sense in having it.
Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know Tuesday night I had asked if it was possible if I and other board members could view the presentations of the different firms, and then we had to go to a site that with a password and so forth, and I thought there'd be time to do that. I didn't know between within 48 hours that it was already done deal picked, and these three are going to have this divvied out, and we never got to really look at what they were going to do. There's also, you know, just to caution the board as I'm, you know, come back, that you don't get too cozy with the different firms. Never get too cozy with the different firms, you know, awarding contracts and so forth and making this deal. In this form or fashion, there's protocol, and I think that the interview process, there's a reason for it, and I just, you know, have to disagree with the motion that the Director Teaser is putting out, and I may get defeated on this, but just making it known for the record why. respectfully, to Director Keith.
Director Lane.
Again, just sort of going to say, I don't think this is unethical. I'm not questioning staff's expertise on this, but just because it is not unethical or it is ethical doesn't make it right. It's the right process to follow. And again, I'll go back to competition. And John, how many of our dam sites have come in under budget?
Number. Harry Queen was the latest. Dam site 15A is still out there. I don't know that one. Most of them are either close or under.
Just about, I think that has to do a lot with staff oversight, these firms being very good at what they do. But I think it also goes back to the initial proposal that they put in front of us, because they know if we don't negotiate with them, we have a secondary firm already lined up. When we go about it this way, it's pretty much here's your two, here's your two, here's your two, give us back the price. I sort of fear about what the prices may be coming back over the long term. And then just when it comes, when we start to just do one dam site again, we're only going to get probably these three firms. You're not going to have another firm going to want any kind of piece of or to spend their time and their money when they know the NRD, they just hand out contracts to the same old three firms. So I guess we'll just see how the vote goes.
So regardless, we don't know the price even if it were just one firm or even through the interview process. We would not know the price regardless. So
there's always the secondary one that they know that we've interviewed, that we've seen their plans. And as far as us not being engineers, when we do see these plans, it can be pretty easy sometimes to tell. They've done their homework. They have not. You don't need to be an engineer to sometimes know which firms are better or not. I go back to 6 and 7. The plan that the firms, two of them were the exact same, and one of them was thinking outside the box. We didn't need to be an engineer to figure out which one was thinking outside the box, and we only learned that going through the interview process. Somebody.
Thank you, Director Leahy. Any further comments from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the amended motion.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe.
No.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
No.
Bradley.
No.
Fred Conley.
No.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Manager.
Yes.
Wilson. Dale. Five. Yay.
I'd like to make an amendment that we add in CH2M to the subcommittee's recommended interviews.
That we follow staff recommendation.
Yes, that we follow the original staff recommendation, however you want to word it, but that we add CH2M.
Okay.
So you're amending the original committee motion.
The original subcommittee motion to add in CH2M.
Okay. So you got that? Okay.
Okay, we have a motion.
Okay.
We have a motion to add CH2M.
Second.
We have a second. Director Teaser.
We had a committee that was asked to review the documentation, and we did our due diligence. We had five documents, five proposals, and the committee, if those of you were here, we said we had, I think we were in general agreement. We had three that looked superior. We had one here, and we had one down here. And so we picked those three. And again, and after reading those proposals, you know, I've been around here since the mid-80s. You know, that's before Director Leahy was still in diapers. John Conley, hell, he was already old back then. But and I had teeth back then. I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of engineering firms come in and make proposals, and I've read a lot of proposals, and, you know, after a while, you just learn. When you read and you see the proposal, or you hear the firms come in and do the presentations, it's pretty clear. The cream comes to the top. And after reading the number four proposal and the number five proposal, even if they came in, I would have a very, very difficult time voting in favor of one of those two based off of what I read. It just wasn't fair, and in my opinion. And, you know, so that's my comment.
I just want to make a comment. We've heard a lot tonight about our staff, and I think they're very good. And they made a recommendation that four of the contractors be interviewed, and I think that's appropriate. I went back to the RFP that was issued and that contractor, and they met all the qualifications of the RFP. So there's no reason they should have been eliminated, in my mind. They should be allowed to present their case as the other three are allowed to present their case. And no one's guaranteed a set number of those projects. I think that's left up to a recommendation by the staff and the committee to the full board. And even then, was made to the full board, it's not guaranteed that the full board would agree.
I'm just going to challenge Director Fred Conley. If you feel that way, then why do we toss anyone out? Why do we bring any firm in that shows an interest in interviewing?
Well,
you're saying the judgment of the committee, you're going to overrule that for whatever reason. Have you read the proposals?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
But let me respond.
But why would you propose one firm and not the fifth one then?
Because staff, and I remember Amanda's comment, they did not meet the requirements of the RFP. I accepted that. That's what she said at the subcommittee.
I don't think she said that.
Well, you can.
Burns McDonald did not present any dam design experience in their proposal.
Okay. And that was required, I think.
Well, I think we would want
somebody with that appropriate experience. Okay. That's why I agreed not to argue about that issue when she said that, to be quite honest with you.
All right, Director Leahy.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with Fred. 9 times out of 10, I agree with Director Tizar. Where you do, you can just tell by the proposal that they give you who the cream of the crop is and who isn't. And like Director Thompson has told me many times, why waste their time or why waste our time if we know that they aren't going to be picked? I tend to agree with that. However, again, we have representatives from CH2M here. They've done their work in reaching out to other board, myself and other board members, I think, to say, hey, they're hungry, give them a chance. So I think that right there changes things up a bit to give them a chance. And I understand why they are not headquartered here. This was new knowledge to me when they came and visited with me. They do have an office here with local staff who have been around long enough, and they do have dam experience. So again, maybe they can give us something outside the box to help us reduce costs, which I think that we're all after. So it's only a half hour out of their time, half hour out of our time, and probably more out of their time. But if we can stay open-minded, I think it's worth bringing them in for an interview. But if you're right, if we know that we're going to shut them out, then don't waste their time and our time. But I think I trust that the subcommittee will be open-minded once they get into the room.
Any other comments from directors? Director Fowler.
Just got to add one more. My, we learned a lot tonight. Actually, this was really good, especially for the new directors. After being here for a long, long time and going through this process quite a bit, I respect everyone's views here. It is not the first time that we've gone against staff recommendation and vice versa. This board has been very dynamic over the years, and we've made these calls. Nothing is new here. We win no matter what because we got great firms that surround the Omaha area, and they deliver. So any one of them could do a great job on there. And just like I said, I fly and I read these things, and down as far as I can, I could tell. And just like you said, three jumped out. Next one was real close, but not there. And then one just really was on the bottom. And we all agreed on that. If we had a fourth, I don't care. It's another interview. Okay, great. We'll add it on there, and we'll go to town. We win no matter what. But everyone sees the processes tonight. This was good for the new folks to see all this. We do take a lot of time in this, and I think time was the deal here tonight to get this done. Now we're going to push it back, but hey, it'll be delivered because we got good quality firms to support. So regardless of how this goes, you know, let's get it done. Can I call a question?
Roll call on Director Leahy's amendment to the motion.
Yeah.
Could you repeat what the motion is exactly?
It's meant to include CH2M.
To the 3. Right.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peterson.
Yeah.
Thompson.
No.
Peace.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conlon.
Aye.
John Conlon.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Dunwell.
Yes.
And Shepard.
Yes.
Well done. Thank you, Director Teal.
Yes.
All
right. Roll call on the motion to approve as amended by Director Leahy.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peterson.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conlon.
Aye.
John Conlon.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Dunwell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Sheriff.
Yes.
We get there eventually.
Thank you, Director Teaser.
You're welcome.
Say no problem. All right. Moving on to 9C, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the February 7th, 2017 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item number one, it's recommended that the general manager be authorized to allow the advancement of the Prairie Queen Subdivision preliminary plat dated November 28th, 2016, with the condition that a final plat not be approved until the transfer deed with the City of Papillion or the Prairie Queen Recreation Area is executed, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fred Pine. Fowler.
Yes.
Dunwell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Item number two is U.S. CCE Section 22 Stream Degradation Study Letter of Intent. Item A, it is recommended the general manager be authorized to execute for and on behalf of the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership the expenditure of $50,000 as part of the local contribution to the USACE Section 22 Stream Degradation Study, and I so move.
Once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conlon.
Aye.
John Conlon.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brunwell.
Yes.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
And Sheriff.
Yes.
Item 2B. It's recommended the general manager be authorized to submit the proposed letter of intent for the USACE Section 22 Stream Degradation Study and that the district contribute $25,000 toward the study, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brunwell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Kirkland.
Yes.
And item number three, it's recommended that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed release of easement for the Papio PL566 S21 structure, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deformed by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Roll call on the motion, please.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conlon.
Aye.
John Conlon.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brunwell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
And Sheriff.
Yes.
And that completes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to 9D, Finance Expenditures and Legal Subcommittee. Once again, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be resolved, the minutes of the February 7, 2017 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted. One, UD Identification and Hold Harmless Agreement. It is recommended that the GM be authorized to execute a proposed indemnification and hold harmless agreement with the Unidike Access with NEPCO Inc., subject to terms and conditions as deemed necessary by the GM and approved to form by a district legal counsel, and I so move.
Right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors?
Director Weiss.
I think if this would be something, as far as that whole harmless, that the legal staff here might want to look at that before they get too carried away, because that's one of them things that it's okay till something happens. And I've seen some really silly things happen that have cost millions of dollars. And there's nothing, once you do this, there's no recourse to back up. And it could cost some bucks.
We reviewed it. And really what it comes down to is the balancing of paying that money, $40,000 take on.
But
the fact that they're not using it right now.
The way I read this, though, with this whole harmless, which most of them are, if one of NRD's employees happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, one of the other group's employees was either under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or whatever, ran over him and killed him, the family would turn around and sue that company, and then that company would turn around and come back to NRD to get the money. That's a double-edged sword. I've personally been involved in that. It's a double-edged sword. So I would recommend we put some verbiage in there if we're going to do a hold harmless to protect on certain instances with that, maybe with the state of Nebraska, there might be some statutes. Because our group got caught up on a multi-million-dollar deal in Texas, and we had nothing to do with nothing, and we ended up having to, just because of the whole harmless, we had to come forward on.
You can review again, Brent. I mean, and if the motion allows for changes by legal counsel or
okay.
me, so we
okay.
can, we can make sure we're firm on that.
It's just if it's $40,000 to fix a road, it's a heck of a lot cheaper than court.
Well, we plan on doing that too, so we're going to do that as well. As
any other comments or questions from directors?
Does that mean it's going to come back before the board again?
No,
it's
we'll just make sure that we're as covered as possible, but we're also going to, as per Director Teaser's direction, we are going to also repair or modify that other access so we don't have to use this access in the future. So I think we'll be fine both ways.
Okay.
Any further questions or comments from directors? Hearing none, roll call on the motion.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Monroe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Heath.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Number two, accounts over 110%, 02015554400, dam site 15A, professional services. It is recommended that the district account 02015554400, dam site 15A, professional services, be allowed to exceed 110% of the budget amount for a maximum not to exceed of $800,000 without further board approval. And I so move.
Once again, I have a motion on the table. Is there anybody in the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors?
I just had a question on that again. Sure. It wasn't quite addressed. I didn't. On Tuesday, if the threshold is 110% and exceeding this requires additional approval and authorization from the board, how did this get to 150% in excess of?
Lori, did you want to?
I mean, I just wasn't clear on that Tuesday when we talked right. about that. I thought, if it's 110% as the threshold, why is this at 150% before we're reviewing it?
So at this point, it has not reached that level. That's what we project it will be at the end of the fiscal year.
What level is it now?
So the invoice for January put us at, I think, about 112, but that hasn't been paid.
Okay. So it's not 150. I thought it was 149 is what we had on.
Right. And so that's what we projected by the end of the fiscal year.
You project it will reach 150%.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But now it's 800,000.
Well, we put that, so if it gets to that point, that 800,000, then we have to come back again and say, hey, this is.
All right, that's fine. Thank you. I just wanted that clarification. Appreciate that.
Yeah, and it's a fiscal year.
Thanks, Laura.
Is that better?
Yeah. Any other questions from directors? None. We'll call on the motion.
John Conway?
Yes.
Howard?
Yes.
John Wall?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mikey?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Director Teaser. Moving on to agenda item 10, Treasurer's Report. Once again, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Treasurer's Report consists of two resolutions which are on the board, and in addition, items 10A through 10I inclusive, and I move approval.
Second. All right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody in the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Howard?
Yes.
Burnwell?
Yes.
Staff?
Yes.
Layton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thompson? Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John
Conley? Yes.
Yes.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda item 11, legal update. As I understand it, we do not have one this evening, so we'll move on to the chairperson's report, agenda item number 12. And I'm going to go ahead and put something above agenda item 12A and ask Emmett if he would be so kind as to come up and show off the bit of hardware that he's holding on to.
Will he let go of it?
Yeah. Are you going to give us are you going to give us a rundown of how it went?
Because
I don't know if everybody knows why.
There were probably 300 to 400 people at the Harvey County Economic Development Corporation meeting. And that was presented to the district. And one just like that to Mayor Peter.
We were named the 2016 Economic Development Partner for Sarpy County. So
that's great.
Dave and I were going to attend until we learned it was further away, so we had to be here. So Emmett was our representative. Emmett, thank you for representing us.
Got all dressed up for nothing.
Yeah.
So we pass that.
Yeah. There you go.
Get it a month.
Yeah, everybody gets it a month. We'll proudly display it in the office.
And not with Fowler. Moving on to 12A, the NID annual Washington D.C. meeting. It's coming up on March 18th through the 22nd, and Director Jim Thompson and myself will be attending to that. So look forward to going to that and bringing back some good information and a report to the rest of the board. Moving on to agenda item 13, General Manager's Report, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached for your views, the January Information Education Report. Personnel miscellaneous items, Sonia Carlson, our program assistant for the Omaha office, submitted her resignation on January 13th, and so we are currently looking to fill that position, and we wish Sonia best of luck. Also, the report of construction services, professional services, and personal property, as well as the ongoing projects with the District Legal Counsel. The Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership report is attached, and the next meeting is February 23rd here at the NRC office. Also, as part of the legislative conference, the NRD managers meet. The NARD risk pool, which is the NRD insurance program, is actually doing quite well this year. Claims are down. In fact, we may get a profit this year, which is good because that will hold premiums down for the next increase. And for the new directors, the NARD is a self-funded plan for our health insurance, and actually our premium increases have averaged 3% or below typically over the last few years. So they do a very good job of monitoring it and running the program. Also, our retirement is a defined contribution plan, and they're making some changes to cut the administrative costs and also to give the employees some more flexibility in some investment options. So that's always a good thing, too. So we do not have a pension plan, and so we typically avoid many of the things that you read with government agencies and their pension systems. So That's always a good thing, too. Other than that, that concludes my report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Agenda item 14, informational items. The next board meeting will be here on March 9th. With that, I hope everyone has a happy Valentine's Day and that you made your restaurant reservations already. As I tried today, failed miserably, so good luck with that. With that, we are adjourned.